Welcome to the ExecNBA podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. So in this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share a conversation I recently recorded with Chi Lo. Chi is a second-year student in our Executive MBA class of 2022, and he is also a West Coaster. Chi and I recently connected about his background, how he decided to pursue an MBA, what led him to Darden, what he's been up to since he started at Darden. He's been very busy. He is actually on our Executive Student Association as the Vice President for Diversity. So we talk with him about the Diversity Committee and what they're hoping to accomplish in the coming year and so much more. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here is my interview with Chi Lo. Chi, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Brett. It's great to be here. Thank you again for having me. Really appreciate this opportunity.
Absolutely. Great to have you here. Great, as always, to talk with you. First and foremost, how are you doing?
Oh, my gosh, Brett. It is a great feeling. We are officially past year one. And, you know, you and I talk about this often, but the world has changed completely since the last time I saw you face to face prior to attending Darden. And so, you know, it's just been great just trying to stay balanced, trying to stay safe. And, you know, just being out here in California, just trying to make the most of this time with the family. So overall, things have been great.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. You're right. It is a different world here. And well, we're recording this in July 2021 than when we first met Chi, which feels like, well, let's just say a long time ago, in the before times at least. And I'm so glad to hear that you're doing well. That's fantastic. And, you know, we've had some West Coasters here on the podcast and excited to have you with us here today. And so where are you calling in from, just for our listeners, to give us a little bit of context?
Yeah, so I'm actually calling in from the East Bay, so San Jose, Fremont, California area here. So have been out in this area for a couple of years now, and it's been great. And you mentioned the West Coasters. They were a big influence in getting me out here. So thank you and kudos to the class of 2021 as well.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit more about your story. So tell us a little bit more about you. Who are you and what did you do before coming to Darden? And maybe what are you currently doing too?
Yeah. So a little bit about my background. I was born and raised in Omaha, Nebraska, where that's actually where my parents landed. They were Hmong Americans who fought alongside of the United States during the Vietnam War. And after the war, the U.S. took them in. And we resided in Omaha, Nebraska. So I did a lot of my undergraduate studies there. I spent most of my time growing up in Omaha, Nebraska. And really after my undergrad experience, life kind of took off and took me in all directions. So we've been in a lot of different states, from Nebraska to Kansas to Arkansas, Oklahoma, California, Kansas, and of course, back to California here and even in Arizona. And so I've kind of been everywhere just following the career track. And of course, education. Met my wife in, of course, Arkansas, and we've been together for about 15 years now with our two Yorkies as well. Outside of that, spent the first part of my career really in the corporate sector, working as a management trainee, and then would eventually transition to the world of telecom as well. And it was after that experience to where I found myself in higher education, to where I spent about 10 years of my career. And I started off in admissions, would eventually transition to academics, and of course, graduate programs. And it was really during the time to where I was working on my dissertation where I felt that I would eventually need to make a pivot into a different industry. And that's actually what took place this past year here along with Darden was, you know, I made that hard pivot from higher education. And currently right now, I took on an internship at Tesla. And eventually after the internship program, they hired me on full time. And so I'm currently serving as a senior talent partner at Tesla. And so it's been a wild journey, but it's been a great one. And, you know, I'm excited to see kind of where the next year of this journey takes me as well.
Well, Chi, so much to talk about there. First of all, I don't know about you. I grew up, I'm of a certain age. I'm 40 years old. I grew up with the Counting Crows. And anytime somebody says Omaha, I immediately hear somewhere in middle America, immediately behind that. So College World Series and all of this, nevertheless, I hear the voice of Adam Duritz playing through my mind. And then the other thing, as I was listening to all the places that you've been, I thought of another song, that Hank Snow song, I've Been Everywhere. You met your wife in Arkansas. You're now in the Bay Area. What has it been like moving around, living in these places? I think of that as an incredible experience.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, you're completely right. I tell people I wouldn't do it any other way. It's, you know, I realized early, my parents used to always tell me that, you know, when you get done with school, you want to settle down, live somewhere 15 years and start a family. I realized early on in my career that 2 years in that my wife and I, we are adventurers. And so we like to explore. And so the moving process itself is probably the most stressful component. But once we actually do get moved in and settled in, it's been a lot of fun just getting to know different cities, different cultures, and just really exploring different areas of where life can take you. And so the moving process, while it can be stressful at times, it's been a lot of fun just exploring different cities to know that we've checked it off our bucket list.
Well, that's great. I can relate. I enjoy traveling around, seeing different things. I kind of wanderlust a little bit. I get it. So tell us a little bit more about your MBA journey. You mentioned, you know, sort of deciding that you wanted to go back to school. You wanted to do a business school, an MBA here. How did you decide that not just an MBA, but Darden was the right next step for you?
Yeah, that's a great question, Brett. So for me, kind of like I mentioned earlier, it was during my dissertation, I started thinking about the type of work that I wanted to do moving forward. And I'm a believer in fit and finding a way to align your strengths with what you want to do. And so through that thought process, that was probably before I actually made the pivot. I realized that someday down the road, I wanted to possibly be in the HR space or get back into corporate to get some experience. And so that's kind of when it first started. And it was really a couple of years ago when I was working in graduate programs, I learned a lot about MBA programs and I learned a lot about the return on investment and just how beneficial an MBA can be. And so even in working with my students, it was just inspiring to hear their stories and to hear kind of what they're doing and where they're going. And at that point, that's when I seriously took a look at what options were available. And that's what led me to Darden. Darden is known for having top faculty. They're known for having a good ROI in terms of career support, career development, and also the network. The network was just amazing. I remember doing a lot of different calls prior to actually coming to visit you, and the Darden community is strong. You know, we're a small community here that really supports each other. And that's the one thing that stood out to me. And it really resonated with me during the class visit as well, too. As I told you earlier, I met the West Coast Darden family here at SFG. And, you know, they were great. The 2021 class was great in accepting me and really answering all my questions. And so that was a big reason for choosing Darden. But most importantly, the case study methodology. With the case method for myself, I'm an auditory learner. And so that worked very well for me. You know, I did a lot of class visits prior to attending Darden's class visit. And the one thing I noticed was at Darden, it's not the lecture style that you're accustomed to at other universities to where you're just sitting through the lectures, but you have to prepare for the cases. You have to work with your learning teams to make sure you're prepped. And then once you get into the classroom itself, it's what we call the cold call. And so you want to be prepared for that. And so I feel like with the case study method, it would maximize my ability to learn. And, you know, after the class visit with you and even sitting in on Shane DeCole's cost behavior course, I felt really good that if I were to get accepted at Darden, that's where I was going to go. And so that's really what led me to Darden. And it's been a great journey thus far. So I've really enjoyed it.
One of the things I really love, I say this as an admissions person, about your story is the intentionality around it, right? The self-reflection, thinking about what you were looking for, what you wanted, checking in with yourself as you went through this process, leveraging relationships, doing your homework, kind of getting that personal feel for the program. I mean, that takes time, that takes work, but I think that's how we really want prospective students to go about it, because at the end of the day, it's a very important decision, right? You're not just picking, you know, a program for 21 months, you're picking a network, a family for life, right? This could be with you through your career. And so, yeah, definitely spend that kind of time, put that kind of energy into it. And so I appreciate that, Chi.
Thank you, Brent.
Well, one of the things that was cool to me as you were doing your research is I had a chance to look at my LinkedIn network and see what executive MBA alumni we have out there in the Bay Area. And there are actually a good number of folks who've moved out to the Bay Area, perhaps after graduation. We have some folks who've done the program from out in California, out from San Francisco, have come to the DC area for weekend residencies and made that trip. I wonder how you thought about coming from, you know, the Bay Area to the Washington, D.C. metro. You know, typically one weekend a month, you're going to have to spend time in Charlottesville as well at the beginning and end of the program for the leadership residencies. How did you think about the travel and time component?
Yeah, so that's a great question, Brad. So I remember going through that process. I remember when I got off the phone with you and we're scheduling the class visit. For me personally, I told myself, I have to go. I have to go for this on-site visit because one, I want to get the experience of how it feels like and how I'm going to feel like once I've taken that flight out there and what the return flight sounds like on Sunday. And so for me, I definitely wanted to make that trip and to go through that entire weekend, the class visit, to sit in on the courses and of course the events for that weekend. It was a great experience. And I remember thinking to myself prior to coming there and even on the flight back home that how I could use that time, whether it's to case prep, whether it's to reflect on classroom sessions, how my energy felt like once I returned, how long it was going to take me to recuperate before I start my work week. It was a good experience. And so it gave me really the foundational measure of what it was going to take to be out there. And of course, with the pandemic, I haven't had a chance to get out there again until this past May. And so that was a great time as well, too. I had a chance to come out there and experience OGR in May with my classmates. And once again, it was just a great time being able to balance out work, school, life, and go through that experience. And so I know that's one thing that I'm definitely looking forward to in the fall. I think I was sharing with you that, you know, I've got my tickets booked for August all the way until we finish the program. And it's definitely something to weigh, but it's in talking to the previous class members, it's something that's doable. I think one of the greatest challenges that they mentioned was just finding ways to build in the time and cadence. And that's the one thing that has been kind of a challenge for me, but I think I'm starting to get that cadence is because the time zone differences are so different from East Coast to West Coast. I joke with people all the time. I have two laptops. One is on East Coast time and one is on West Coast time. And so it's really just making sure that you have good balance. So for me, prior to going to OGR, I need to make sure that my cadence is on East Coast time. So and a good example of that is when they're starting OGRs at 8:30 in the morning, it's 5:30 here in California. And so for me, I just need to make sure that my cycle for that week is in rhythm with the OGRs so that I can maximize that experience. And so for the most part, it was a deciding factor. But the one thing I loved most about it was it's once a month. And so that for me was doable. I wanted to be able to come out once a month, get all my coursework done, take a few weeks off to decompress, and of course, go through the courses in the virtual format and then come back the next month. And so I felt that was doable with my schedule. And so far it's been great. So I've really enjoyed the format. And for any West Coast people looking into the program out there, you know, just know it is something that it can be challenging, but it is doable and definitely worth the experience.
Well, I appreciate that. And you did note the distance learning, which for a West Coaster like yourself, it's normally 7 to 8:30 or so, a couple nights a week here East Coast time. But that would be not an evening class for you. That would be a late afternoon class, I think, 4 to 5:30.
Yeah, it's great. I always tell people, you know, it's earlier in my day. And once you get done, there's still a lot of daylight out there. And even for the OGRs, when we're finishing out here, generally it's you still have the whole day ahead of you. So that's been one of the benefits of it too, is knowing that when it's OGR is over, it's some days it's only noon or some days it's only 3. And so it's definitely a motivating factor once you finish the coursework.
That's right. You've been participating virtually in some of these weekend residencies, but I think I share your excitement. I think we all share your excitement on the Executive MBA program team to be back, to resume normal operations, to be back in person. I can also say that our class of 2023, the class that's enrolling this August, also very excited about that. So a lot to look forward to here. So let's talk about that first year of the program. Chi, you're now a second year student, as you noted, which is really exciting. I had a chance to hang out in Charlottesville with some of your classmates a couple weekends ago and see everybody, which I will say is the first large social gathering I had been to in like 16 months, which you get a little rusty, Chi, just so you know. If you haven't been around people, like just trying to talk to people and like go to one of those things, like, you got to use those muscles again. So yeah. It's interesting to me, but what was that first year like? What were the learning curves for you?
Yeah. So Brett, that first year, I tell you, when they say it's a transformational experience, it truly was. Coming into the program, you know, we're we're told that, you know, we'll have the night classes on the Tuesday and Thursdays, and we'll have OGR. And, you know, we joke about it on the learning team, even within the cohort, that when you actually get into that first term and you're doing the prep work, and it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I can do a couple hours a week, Tuesday, Thursdays, and then you have OGR. When you incorporate the prep work and even the learning team work into it, it's just a lot of work during the first couple of terms, especially hours. And so the advice I would give is definitely be ready to commit that time, because that time is crucial. You get what you make of the learning experience. And but the nice thing about it is after the first couple of terms, you do find a cadence in terms of, you know, how you separate the work within your learning teams, how you can best support each other. And the great thing about our cohort too is, like, for me, I can tell you, I'm definitely not a quant person. And I know that's usually what a lot of our students fear with the program, is not having the quant expertise. But the nice thing is our faculty are great. They do a great job in really ingraining the case study methodology to make sure that you understand the principles coming out of it. And also, we have a lot of subject matter experts within each cohort. I think the program team and you all do a phenomenal job in breaking up our learning teams to where it's very balanced, and our subject matter experts do a great job in hosting additional sessions as well too, to where, let's say for instance, if we are having challenges in decision analysis or even accounting or finance, we have student leaders who will step up and host additional sessions so that you do have that preparation going into the exam period. And so it's been a great experience during year one, just going through this experience with the cohort, with our learning teams, and going through the challenges of the pandemic together. I think we all, like you said, are looking forward to the fall, but for the most part, I think we've made the most out of year one, and y'all have done a great job. It's been just a great journey during this first year.
Well, all credits to the program team. It's an incredible group of people who support our executive MBA students and also the executive MBA faculty, all tremendous folks. I think one of the nice things about the executive MBA program, and perhaps you feel the same way, Chi, but certainly for me, it's like it's a community within a community, right? So you have the broader Darden community, but the executive MBA program, it's a real tight-knit family. You're all in it together, whether you're faculty, staff, student, that's the mentality here.
Yeah, I completely agree. It is definitely one family with the executive MBA faculty, and we've had the opportunity to just get to know them through the classroom sessions. They do a great job of hosting office hours as well too, and so we get the opportunity to really get to know them. And even this past session, having Manel fly out from California to come join us for OGR, I mean, they are dedicated to their work, and very impressed with their expertise, but also just the support that they've been able to provide us to have more of that community that you mentioned.
Yeah, and for our listeners who listening along and come trying to keep up with the alphabet soup of things, just so you know, OGR, it's on-grounds residency. We use this sort of interchangeably with weekend residency. So if you're curious, there are a lot of acronyms to keep straight here at Darden, not just with respect to weekend residencies, but course names and all sorts of other things. So one of the challenges for a new student is to decode all of this, but we do try to help people out as we go through the podcast. Now, all right, Chi, let's talk about your extracurricular engagement, because you also have a leadership role within the class. So you just talked about how busy you were and the adjustment and being a brand new student at Darden and kind of navigating these early quarters. And yet you still said, you know, I want to put more on my plate. So talk a little bit more about the leadership role you have within your class.
Yeah, so the leadership role I have currently right now is VP of VFSA Diversity Committee. And so essentially in that position, part of the reason why I chose to go after that position is because I have a passion for diversity, equity, inclusion. I'd say probably since 2014 on, I've done a lot of work in the D&I space, diversity, equity, inclusion. And you know, my goal is really to continue the education and awareness of you know, finding ways to really create that educational platform so that we can continue to widen our perspective when it comes to diversity, equity, inclusion. And so with that position, it's just been great to be able to take that on and to be able to have such an amazing committee to kind of build our initiatives off of and to share that with the Darden community. Because one thing we talk about all the time is we want to be better leaders. We want to be leaders who are embracing diversity, equity, inclusion, especially with the world nowadays. Diversity, equity, inclusion plays a big role in business. And so We want to make sure that we're being ethical leaders and that we are incorporating D&I principles as well. And so this, I thought, provided a great opportunity to continue that education process to help educate our cohort colleagues and even the Darden community on D&I initiatives.
Well, it's obviously important. These are important values at the Darden School, so important that we ask about them in our application. We have a diversity and inclusion question in the application. It's one of the short answer questions that we feature for applicants. And for folks who are wondering, the ESA is the Executive Student Association. It's essentially the executive MBA equivalent of the residential Darden Student Association. We've had, for those people who want to learn a little bit more about this group, we actually had the president and executive vice president of the organization, Katrina Sattler-Ayer and Sean Taylor, here on the podcast. So ESA, you know, already been on the podcast. Excited to have you here, Chi, to talk a little bit more about the diversity committee, because, you know, I think about a lot of this work has been going on for a while here at Darden, but it felt like it really picked up in particular coming off of last summer. We had members of our executive MBA class of 2021, you know, really kind of went to the program team and said, we need to do more here. We need, you know, to look at the cases that we're reading and the protagonists of those cases. We need to offer more programming, more support, all of these kinds of things. So much energy came from that class. And I really credit that class for sort of taking the work that had been done and really actively pushing it forward. And so now you're here, diversity committee is here. This is new for us. The ESA was founded this year with your class. So, you know, what are you hoping to accomplish?
Yeah, so Brett, that's a great question. So a little backstory on that, you're absolutely right. The 2020 class was just amazing in laying the foundational groundwork for us. And actually had a chance to meet with some of their leaders as well too, and what they were driving and what they were able to instill. And so they've done a great job with the foundation. And I think the biggest advice they gave us was to really focus on one or two things, do it great, but continue to keep the awareness of diversity, equity, inclusion coming, because where we want to get to is the sustain phase. We want to get to a phase to where we can sustain that. And then hopefully the future classes will be able to build upon that. And so we've definitely taken their advice and run with it. As you mentioned, they've done great things such as creating training, integrating things into the curriculum, working with the program teams to get updated cases as well too. And so they've really done a great job. And when it comes to us and kind of our vision for the upcoming year, we continue to focus on the three pillars. We spoke with this with the program team and even with the previous class, but the three pillars in terms of how do we support the student recruitment and how do we support the student experience and, of course, alumni relations. Those are the areas where we're really directing our focus. And through those three areas, one, we're working with a lot of our affinity groups here, such as VESD, New, BEMBA, and Pride, to ensure that you know, we're able to support their needs as well too. They are other affinity groups here at Darden, and we want to make sure we're able to support their efforts. And also within our specific student experience, that's kind of where a lot of our focus is. And so something that we recently just launched is kind of a storytelling series, both in a face-to-face setting and even in kind of a LinkedIn platform. We have what's called Darden Stories, which we just launched our first one last night. And really, it gives us an opportunity to learn more about our cohort, the diverse background that they come from, so that we can widen that perspective. And we share that within the Darden Executive MBA community. And then also, we have what's called Humans of Darden. And within the Humans of Darden experience, that really focuses on, you know, people coming in and really, it's similar to Humans in New York, but what they're doing is they're sending in a submission with a picture and a description of actually just their experience and their background. And so it's just a great opportunity, again, to see a different perspective, to get to know our classmates and to really see some of the challenges that they've faced to get to where they are today. And so that's really where a lot of our focus items are. We're currently also working on ambassador and a mentorship program as well, which I'm sure down the road you'll have some people who can speak a little bit more about that on the podcast. And then the final thing too is just our class. We are so interconnected, and we have individuals who have stepped up, and we actually have a global diversity event taking place in October. And so that's going to be really exciting. It's actually Luke is heading this up, and he's getting everybody within our cohort actively involved. And I think it's going to be a great event. And really, it's just going to showcase kind of our diversity within the cohort and to really celebrate diversity as a whole. So I think When that event comes in October, it's just going to be a great time for everyone to come together and really embrace diversity, equity, inclusion.
Well, that's incredible, Chi. Not only do you have a plan, you've got pillars, you got people involved, people working on this. I'm not surprised, let me put it this way. I'm not surprised that it's happening, but I'm so excited to hear all the things that are happening. And I particularly loved your point, that, you know, maybe that was shared with you by the class of 2021. Like, don't try to do everything. Try to do one or two things really well. This is always my advice for student leaders is like, when you come in, you got a lot of energy and you probably want to try to accomplish everything. And generally that means that you may not necessarily accomplish anything if you take that as your lens. But if you say, look, I want to do this one thing, I want to do these two things well, particularly when you're a really busy executive MBA student, your chance of accomplishing those things goes up exponentially. And you also leave some things for future leaders, right? You're just trying to move the ball forward, you know, keep things viable, you know, keep the momentum here. You know, take what was done, build on top of it, hand it off to somebody else. I know our executive MBA students, things move very quickly, 21 months in the program. And when you're a student leader, you're probably talking about maybe a window of about a year or so. But nevertheless, you know, if you can pick that narrower focus, that's the way to do it. So I like to hear that.
Thank you, Brent.
All right. So, well, you're in your second year of the program. There's a lot happening. You've got this conference coming up. Any other things that you're looking forward to in the second year here, Chi?
Yeah. So I think I touched on it a little bit, but just coming into the program, the transformational experience is something that I really wanted to get out of it. You know, I've had leadership experiences before to where as a leader, we talk a lot about the collaborative experience, right? In terms of how do you leverage employee voice? And at the same time, how do you be able to utilize that and make decisions off of it? And the one area, I think I shared this with you during my interview, is coming into this program, I wanted to be a stronger leader in terms of being able to continue to leverage employee voice, collaborate, but also be able to validate decisions as I make decisions as a leader. And so I can tell you the first year has been such a transformational experience. And during year two, I want to continue to improve that transformation. I want to continue to, grow as a leader through the coursework that we have. And we're actually coming up to the electives portion too. So it's going to be a lot of fun in terms of taking some of those elective courses to really kind of develop the subject matter expertise as we move forward. And so that's something I'm looking forward to. And then outside of that, really just continuing to get to know my classmates, my cohort, especially being on site. I think that's going to be great. I think we've all been kind of yearning for that consistent on-site experience as we wrap up the program. And I think the thing I've been hearing from the 2021s is just really cherishing these moments, especially this final year. We sit back and we joke, but we can't believe it's already been a year in the program. I feel like it's been just a snap of the fingers and we're already 1 year through. And so I can only imagine how this next year will go by. I mean, there's some parts where we wish we were at the finish line already, but in embracing the experience, you know, I truly hope that we're able to make the most of this final year, get to know each other, build the relationships, and continue to grow as executive MBA students so that we can continue to be strong leaders within the Darden community.
Are there any particular elective courses that you're particularly excited about? Anything that you're really looking forward to?
Yeah, so with the electives, you know, one thing that I've been really interested in is kind of the data analytics. And so there's a couple of data analytics courses that we'll be taking. I believe there's a sports data analytics course with Jim Dietert, and there's another data analytics course with data visualization down the road as well too. So I'm really excited about that. One specific course that I'm excited about is they've got a marketing course out here in California. And so for me, I think one of the requirements was that it's going to be on site in California. And so with me being out here, I just think it's another great example of being able to get with my colleagues who do come out here for that course. I think that'll be a great time, but also to get ingrained in the marketing material and to see how marketing works, especially in Silicon Valley here. And so I'm really excited about that course as well too. And of course the diversity, equity, inclusion course that's taught in Q9. I believe it's Q9 or Q10. I'm looking forward to that course as well too. So just a lot of exciting electives around the corner, and I can't wait to dive into those courses.
And so for our listeners, Q9, Q10, that's quarter nine, quarter 10. It's right at the end of the program. It's a 10 2-month quarter program. And quarter nine, quarter 10, those are all electives in our program. So you're taking all electives at that point. And of course you hit LR2, Leadership Residency 2, and you're done. And it's graduation. And you are officially an alum of the Darden School. So things do move quickly to Chi's point. And Chi, that elective in San Francisco, it's been offered for a few years now to executive MBA students. Always really popular and always incredible guest speakers for that. That class has continued even in the midst of the pandemic. It was a virtual class recently, but nothing quite like being in the Bay Area. You should probably know better than anybody.
Yeah, I tell people I've been spoiled by this weather for a couple of years now, so I'm just going to enjoy it while it's here. So,
absolutely. Well, any pieces of advice that you would like to share with our listeners?
Yeah. So coming into the program, I know when I spoke with a lot of just previous class members and even alumni, the advice they always gave me was take time off, make sure you're refreshed, spend time with family. Make sure you gain their buy-in and commitment. I truly didn't understand that until you got into the program, but that's the same advice I would give them as well too, is really take time to refresh yourself, make sure you're ready for the program, because once you jump in, it is a big commitment as far as time and just where you're dedicating your resources and of course, balancing work, life, and family. So you definitely want to take that time for yourself and make sure you're fully ready. One thing I heard within one of the networking sessions is, depending on your role, if you're coming in as a switcher, which that was kind of my case at the beginning, you want to make sure that there's three different areas they talk about focusing on. You'll have time to network, time to focus on the recruiting process, and time for coursework. And they said that during that time, you only get to do about two of those things really well. And so in juggling life and work and family, that's the one thing I would tell you too, is really identify the two things that you really want to do well. Just from my perspective, when you're able to get on site, I would focus heavily on getting to know your cohort, taking the time to really networking with them. And even when you're at on-ground residency, you want to make sure that, although you want to prep for the coursework, but at the same time, when there's events afterwards, definitely get involved, get to know your classmates, because these are the relationships that will benefit you 10, 15 years down the road. And it's those experiences and the conversations that you have that will be key takeaways down the road that will be most memorable. So, and finally, just enjoy the transformational experience. Like I said, from day one, from LR1, all the way to where we are now, it's just been great working with the career teams and even some of the leadership development courses and the coursework itself. And even the people in the cohort, we have just phenomenal people within our cohort who have been great leaders who you can learn from. And so I would just say, embrace that experience, learn as much as you can, push yourself to do as much as you can, because this truly is going to be a transformational experience. And if you dedicate the time commitment to it and you're reflecting upon your growth during that time, you'll truly see the impact that this program will have on you.
Well, so much good advice there. I think over my time talking with current students and alums, they always say, if you're trying to do your reading during the weekend residency, you're probably a little bit behind. Have all that done before you show up for a Friday class so that you can really enjoy the experience. You can always have some time to brush up if you need to, refresh yourself on the materials, but make sure you give yourself that space and time to enjoy the weekend, enjoy being with your classmates, and you really have time to be present for those experiences to a person. That is the advice, because the time does go quickly in the program, Chi. And so, well, I want to ask as a final question, normally that's the last question we ask, but since you just started at Tesla, I am curious, what led you to Tesla and how's it going so far?
Yeah. So that's a great question, Brett. And actually, I kid you not, this experience has probably been one of the major reasons for that opportunity. But what led me to Tesla was actually, so here's the story behind it. It was actually after LR1. I believe we had a career session with Jim Collins and his team. And also we've had a chance at that point to really listen to a few alumni speak about some of the different avenues to take, especially if you're pivoting, how to really get out there and what opportunities to take advantage of. And I remember coming out of that session saying, okay, I'm going to hit the ground running. And so After LR1, I started applying for internships, and I applied for one at Tesla, and immediately received a call back. I received a call back about 3 weeks later, and it was actually interesting, but the recruiter actually reached out to me and she said that she used to recruit from University of Virginia Darden, and she understands the quality of student that comes out of the Darden School of Business. And so for me, I felt just great at that moment, because I always tell people this degree is going to pay off in terms of return on investment down the road. And with her telling me that, that validated it. And I always tell people that I would not have that opportunity at Tesla if it wasn't for the Darden School of Business and being here as well too, because it just opens up another network for you to really get yourself into the industry that you want. And so for me, that's kind of how my journey took off. I was an HR and people teams intern starting in February. I worked in that position for about 2 to 3 months. And I think it was just this past May, I recently was converted to a senior talent partner. And so it's been a great, phenomenal experience so far, just being able to learn kind of how Tesla works and just operating in kind of that space. And, looking forward to really learning as much as I can during this upcoming year as well. But once again, could not have done it without this experience. And so I always tell people, you just have to trust the process sometimes. And as long as you put in the work, good things will happen. And year one has been great. Excited to see what year two will bring.
Well, Chi, thank you so much for your time today. As always, it's great talking with you. And thank you for spending some time in the morning out there on the West Coast with us here on the podcast and sharing your story. And congratulations on making it to the second year of the program and everything exciting that's happening for you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, Brett. I really appreciate you having me on.
And that was my interview with Chi Lo, a second year student in our Executive MBA class of 2022. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.